This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. My dear brothers and sisters, I have been asked to speak about the Quran al-Kareem. And I want to begin and end with just one question. And that question is, what does the Quran mean to you? I want you to think deeply about this question. And I want you to answer this question for yourself. I want you to pray 2 rakat of Salatul Hajj and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the answer in your heart. And the question is, what does the Quran mean to you? Let me illustrate why I am saying this. In 2015, I had been invited to deliver the keynote address at the International Conference on Faith-Based Education, which was in Oxford. On my way there, I was in London for a few days, and I asked to visit a very famous, a very beautiful Jewish school called Jacobs Academy. Jacobs Academy. In that school, I was invited to visit the religious studies class. Now, this class was, students were about maybe 7 or 8 years old, and it was a random visit. The class itself was not informed that I was going to visit. So, it was a completely spontaneous kind of thing. When I walked into the class, little boys and girls, 7 to 8 years old, as I said. The teacher said to me, please talk to them, ask them anything you like. So naturally, I asked them, what do you know about Islam? These are all Jewish children. I said, what do you know about Islam? So one little girl puts up her hand. I said, yes, please. She says to me, Islam is a religion based on a book called the Quran. So I said, what do you know about this book? She says, this is a holy book. It must be treated with respect and it must be kept in a high place. Now, of course, I applauded the answer. But in my heart, I thought to myself, how did this little girl know the truth of what Muslims do with the Quran? Now, the short answer is, I don't think she knows the truth, but because I know the truth, I was able to see in her words what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted me to see about how we treat the Quran. And how do we do that? Like the girl said, it's a holy book, we treat it with respect, and we put it in a high place. That's it. Khalas. Our relationship with the Quran is to treat it as a holy book and to place it in a high place. Wrap it up in nice velvet or, you know, cloth, usually green in color, as if Allah didn't make any other color. All culture, nothing to do with Islam. And then we put it in a high place. My question to you, my brothers and sisters, that's why I said, ask yourself, what is my relationship with the Quran? What does the Quran mean to me? This is not a matter of semantics. It's to understand a fact that attitudes are reflected in language, and language affects attitudes. Attitudes are reflected in language, and language affects or changes attitudes. This is my message to you, as I told you. Just ask yourself this question. What does the Quran mean to me? Because if the Quran to you and me, and this is, may Allah protect us, the situation of the majority of Muslims all over the world, If the Quran to you or me is a holy book to be treated with respect and put in a high place, then believe me, that Quran will not be reflected in your life or my life. It will not be reflected in our lives. It will not be reflected in our language and how we speak with people. It will not be reflected in our dealings. It will not be reflected in anything to do with us. And it will have no effect on us, even though we claim to believe in it, and we claim to respect it, and we put it in a high place. On the other hand, if we treat the Quran and we believe about the Quran what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is, which is hudallil nas, guidance for all of mankind, which is hudallil muttaqeen, specific guidance for people of taqwa, people who understand who Allah is, people who have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are hugely concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance for. What is the meaning of guidance for? If I have a map, today we live in the world of Google Maps, right? And GPS systems. But I remember in America, where I'm sitting here now in the office in the masjid, when I lived here 20 years ago, 22 years ago, there was no Google. Can you imagine? A world without Google. Did exist, believe me. So when we went anywhere, every car had maps. So you would, before you left, you would open your map, you would mark out your route, you would highlight the important places in that route, where you need to take turns and so on and so forth. And then you would have this map open on the passenger seat in the car. And if you had a passenger, then that passenger automatically took the position of the navigator and sat there with the map in their lap, and they called out the turns to you. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that this map was my book of guidance. And because it was the book of guidance, I used it to guide myself to the right destination. I did not put that map in a velvet cover and put it in a high place and treated it with respect. Using is not disrespect. To use something for the purpose for which it is created is the highest form of respect. Not to use that thing, not to use a map, to keep the map in a high place, within quotes, with respect, and then be misguided and then fall into holes and pits, is the highest form of disrespect. It is to deliberately ignore the guidance that was sent to us. Let us ask ourselves what we are doing with the Quran today. We focus on reciting it correctly, specific pronunciation. Every letter, every sound, the makharij, the makhraj, where is it to be expressed from, which part of the throat, tongue, so on and so on. We focus on that. We focus on doing that in a very pleasant way. Qiraat. So tajweed, qiraat. Should sound nice. Should sound nice. Listen to the words. Third one, we focus on memorizing it. And the memory must be so perfect. And alhamdulillah, we have huffaz like this. Absolutely anywhere in the Quran. Just read for that half is first two or three lines, or two or three letters, no, I mean words. Two or three words in the ayah, and he will complete or she will complete that ayah for you. Anywhere, random. We focused on the memorization. We focused on what we call the miracle of the grammar. So we focused on, for example, in Ayat al-Kursi, how many times Ayn comes. The letter Ayn, how many times it is mentioned or it is written in Ayat al-Kursi. The construction of the word. Right? Now, please understand, I am not saying that all of this is unimportant. Of course it is important. There is nothing good about mispronouncing the Quran. There is nothing. Tajweed is the way of reciting the Quran. There is no other way. Somebody who does not understand Tajweed, who does not learn Tajweed, and who is mispronouncing the Quran, is doing a disfavor to himself. And of course, the Arabic language is such that in certain cases, if you mispronounce a particular word, now you are saying something completely different. The meaning itself is different. So, I'm not denigrating or discounting the importance of Tajweed. I'm not saying the Quran must be recited, doesn't matter how. That sounding nice and sounding good and pleasant is not important. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that memorizing is unimportant. None of that. I'm saying that none of those things, these are all important, but they are not the purpose. They are not the purpose. The purpose of the revelation is one, which is guidance. The purpose of the map is what? Guidance. Is it important for the map to be printed on good quality paper? Yes. Is it important for the map to have all the fonts clear in it so that you can read it easily? Yes. Is it important for the map to look nice and, you know, to be beautified, maybe have some pictures and so on and so forth in it? Oh yes, of course, most important, very important. But just a simple map on a piece of paper, a line drawing, will guide you just as well and just as good as the most elaborate, the most beautifully decorated, the most illuminated map in the world. Provided you treat it as something to use to guide yourself, whether it's a line drawing on a piece of paper, or whether it is the most elaborate, the most beautiful looking map in the world, it will only guide those who treat it as something to be used to guide themselves to the correct destination. So I said I want to begin and end with this, and that is, what does the Quran mean to you? The meaning of meaning, not translation. What does it mean to you? What does it do to you? What does it create in your life? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate your life with this kalam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to read it correctly, to understand it correctly. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand that this great wealth He gave us, which is His kalam, is something that we need to not just treat with respect and put it in a high place, but to use it daily in our lives, to refer to it again and again and again, and to find meaning in it, and for it to be the life jacket which keeps us from sinking and drowning in the sea of this world. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.